I can turn to 2 Timothy, please. It might have seized upon us. The next several weeks we'll be having messages about giving and gifts, as the Lord will allow us to preach. David, I can look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, a passage of scripture we have used as a text the other day, and we talked about this first subject, about God not giving us a spirit of fear, and we want to take and go a little bit different vein with that today, but also we want to expound upon the other two things here that we said that God gives us as well, that power and love. And then we'll probably leave the last one, sound mind, maybe even for tonight. Brother Trent, he hit upon that just a little bit this morning as he started talking about the subject for this morning. But we're going to be going just a little bit different way than what Brother Trent brought our attention today. So we thank the Lord for the message we had there this morning, the good Sunday school hour. On the title of the message, What God Gives. What God Gives. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Heavenly Father, just bless the dream of the word, bless the people, bless and bring honor and glory to thy name. In Jesus' name we pray and ask forgiveness of sin. Amen. As we read this passage of scripture, read right from the very beginning, God has not given us the spirit of fear. We preached on that just not so long ago, and we come from the angle specifically that we do not have fear of the world's ways, the world's attitudes, and their philosophies, and their ideas, that through the power of God, that we'd be a courageous people and stand up against ungodliness. Stand up against ungodliness. At the same time, we mentioned how that we need to temper that with a loving spirit. Let's think about here today, in this passage of Scripture, we see that there's some things that God has given us. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I'd like to make the statement, and I understand that if you're here today, and I believe that you can certainly grasp this, especially if you're a child of God, that you understand that first and foremost, our God is a gracious, giving God.
Amen.
I mean, the gods in this world are always gods that have taken. The gods they served there at one time, there in the pagan countries around Israel, and even the nation of Israel got involved in some of this paganism. I always think about the one specific god, the god Molech, and the worship that he demanded. What was demanded by the priests and those that worshiped that god was the sacrifice of babies, human sacrifice, this god Molech. And we have known of other cultures, and it's said that maybe the great Indian culture, the South America, had later on as they evolved in their civilization, had a great civilization, but it kept degenerating over time. And one of the things they think was a cause of that was their starting to use of human sacrifice. That's the ultimate of the devil. The devil's way is to take the life of humans and sacrifice. But again, we understand that false gods, the false gods of this world, the devil's the very helm of that. We understand that all in all, that the devil's a taker, the false gods of the world are a taker, but our God's a gracious, giving God. As we think, as a fruit text, as we said, as we say that our God is a giving God, one of the most familiar, the most precious passage of Scripture that probably people know more than the other passage of Scripture in the entire Word of God is John chapter 3 and verse 16. We see it very plain and very explicit in the Holy Bible. We see it made it very plain and clear to us that our God is a giving God. To what lens does God give? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I mean, how much greater could you say, how much greater of a proof text could we give to clarify and make emphasis to the statement that our God is a precious God, that our God is a gracious God, and that our God is a giving God. I want to stop here just for a moment, and to think about God in the giving of His Son. I want to ask the question, here tonight, here today, and you've never been saved, you cannot name the name of Christ as your Savior. You cannot say for sure that you left this world today and you go to be with the Lord, that heaven is your home. If you cannot say that, you absolutely cannot say that, I ask you a question. Why would you reject the gift of salvation? The Bible teaches us the gift of the salvation is a precious gift of God. He gave His Son to die for you on the cross of Calvary to shed His blood to take your sin debt. And all that you've got to do is receive what Christ did for you. And repent to sin, acknowledging that your sins is what's put Jesus on the cross. Acknowledge your sins will put you in a place of damnation because our God is a loving God, but also He's a God that hates sin. He cannot stand sin. Sin must be atoned for. And the only way that sin will ever be atoned for is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you repent and put your faith in what Christ did for you, the Bible says if you believe what Christ did for you, that He died, He's buried, and He arose again, He had victory, and He paid the price, the Bible says if you can really have that belief, that confidence in your heart, that you will be saved.
Amen.
So I ask you again, you're here today and you're not saved, you're not been born again, you don't have that assurance of knowing that you're on your way to heaven, why would you reject this wonderful, wonderful gift? Of all ages here today. What's the most modern cell phone that they got? What's the very newest right off the line? You've got to wait a day or two before you get it. What's the most modern cell phone that you can have? Anybody want to mention? Is it a 7? Is it an 8? Or is it a 10? 7? Is that somebody say 7? 7's the best you can get. I come here today and I pulled out a box and I said, I've got 7 of the number 7s. Give away. Even if you had one, but you want another? I tell Sister Sandy all the time, I said, get me another cell phone. I have two. You thought I'd never have one. I thought I'll never have a cell phone. I'm worse than a baby in a pacifier. Now I've got to have my cell phone. I could be 150 miles from the house and I've left my cell phone. I'll turn around and go back and get it. I can't live without my cell phone right now. I can't exaggerate this a little, but man, I don't want to live without my cell phone. Hey, why do you need two? People don't have two cell phones. I said, I don't want two. That way, if one goes bad, I can use half of them as a backup. I'm just hooked on my cell phone. But I've got 7 of the 7s to give. Even if you got one, and I say, they're theirs for yours to take, come up here and get it. Would anybody here not walk up and say, I'm going to be very quick and get me one of those 7s? Maybe you're a little older and your sights are a little higher. Maybe it's getting time to vote for an automobile. Or maybe you think your automobile is a unique little update on your automobile. And I come in here and I say, I've got the keys to a brand new car, a brand new truck. It's just yours free to take. It could go on. It might be a four-wheeler for a young boy or a young girl. Or it might even be more simpler thing of a special toy or gift or the hottest thing that's out there, the newest thing that's out there. What is it, the hottest thing that's out there right now? It's that little egg that you can get. And you carry it an hour or two and it'll hatch. They say that you can get them with a $69.99 and now they sell for $175. If you can get them and hold them for a minute and black market them, you can get double your money. That's the newest thing on the market. And maybe if I had some of those here, here they are. Would they be some of our children or maybe a grandma? Well, she might knock 2 or 3 of the children down to get up here to get it because she wants to give it to her grandchild. Wouldn't you take that? It's a free gift. And it's there for you to have. How much more would you be if you're here today and you have not salvation that you would reject the salvation, the gift of salvation? Because it is a gift. Our God is a giving God. He proved that, and the greatest proof is the giving of His Son. It's giving of His Son, our Savior, who was the Lamb. The Bible said was slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13 and 18. 13 verse 8. And you stop and think about that just for a second. Even before this world was formed, before the foundation of this world came about, and as God brought this world into existence, the Bible said that God designed and God purposed to give His Son. Now you think about that. Even before this world was brought together, formed out of nothing, the Bible tells us that God purposed to be a God that was going to give His Son. And our text for today, you read that which has been given to us as born-again believers. I'm going to take time to look at not all four, but at least three of these things that God gives us. Number one, courage. And we preach about this the other day. We preach about it from the standpoint of that we shouldn't be afraid to stand up for the godly things of life. But that word courage, and have courage, I mean, it applies to so many areas of our life. We read here in this passage of Scripture, our text, that God has not given us the spirit of fear. So that tells us that what does He have to give us then? God's given us courage. God's given us courage.
Amen.
What He does give and require of His people is courage. God not only gives courage, but God wants you to be as His child, to be as a courageous individual. We read in the Bible, as a woman, her name is Esther. Was she not a courageous lady? We read of a lady, we read of a man called David. Was not David a courageous individual? We read of a woman in the Bible, her name was Deborah. Trent, you go ahead and take care of her. Stay outside and take care of her. We read of a woman, her name was Deborah. Was she not a courageous individual? As we take time to read the Bible stories and the Word of God, we read of a host of people in the Bible. We read of a host of other people in the Bible that Almighty God granted a great, great courage. We think about Gideon in the Bible, a man that had great courage and took great courage, even though he faltered at the very beginning. We read in the Bible that God will have us to be courageous, and there are men in the Bible. We read that passage of Scripture, that one passage, that they said that we would play the part of men. They would call amongst the men of Israel, they'd be those men that would stand up and be men and stand for the nation of Israel, what the God of the nation of Israel. We read of David, it was not those that served David, those select men that served and helped David in the establishment of the godly line that Christ would come through. What was they referred to? As mighty men of valor. How we need to have more mighty men of valor. Mighty, more mighty women of valor. Those will be men and women and serve God acceptably and serve God bravely. With bravery. We read of others in the Bible. There is a rather, as we think about, that Almighty God granted these people a great courage. But it's probably better to put to say this. They was a good group, a good number of individuals, we read of the Bible, that acted upon what God had already given them. You know, sometimes we want to say that God gives certain people certain characteristics, certain empowerments, and certain abilities. And we say, well, those are a select few, and they've got it. God didn't give that to me. But oftentimes, that's just a cop-out for us. That's a cop-out that says, we can't do it. We're not going to do it. But this person here, God blessed them with a greater courage than I. And let them go ahead and be crazy. But I'm not being blessed that way. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. God gives you courage, and God wants you to be courageous. It's not that God will give me more courage than you, or you more courage than me. It's that you may act upon what God's given you and use it to the fullest potential in your life, and you be a stand-up, courageous person, but I will not. I may not use the gifts that God's given me, but you may. We can't throw off, we can't excuse ourselves for being cowardly and in a cowardly way by saying, God didn't give me that great spirit of courage. The Bible says God gives us all spirit of courage.
Amen.
So we see a select group of people in the Bible. But they act upon that which God blessed them. It's not those of faith back in the church, it's not those of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ across the land today and in our history that use what God gave them, the blessed gift of courage, and they use that to be a blessing or being a blessing today. It's a blessed gift, this gift of courage. And as you think about courage to do what? You know, it takes courage to love. It takes courage just to love people. Some people don't have enough courage to be able to even love people. It takes courage to love people. Why? Because we're afraid of being rejected. We're afraid that that it won't work out or they won't respond back. It takes courage to serve. Listen. It takes courage to forgive. It takes something to forgive. Some people say, well, I just can't do it. I actually heard of one woman one time, and a lot of times I'm on one-on-one visit with somebody in salvation, and a lot of times I'll just ask them. A lot of times we'll be praying, and I say, we'll close in a prayer, and I say, I'm going to stop for a moment while I'm praying. You have an opportunity to call upon Christ, if you so choose, while I pray. And afterward, if they make no admission or said that they're not saved or don't want to be saved or have no desire to be saved, I often ask them the question, what keeps you then? What keeps you from being saved? And a lady told me one time, she said, I've got something against an individual and I just can't forgive them. I said, they've hurt you. Yes, they've hurt me. You can't forgive them. No, I can't forgive them. And I know I can't go to heaven. Her thought was, I can't go to heaven if I can't forgive them. And I said, so that person's hurt you. You can't forgive them. So now they're going to hurt you throughout eternity in a place called hell because you can't forgive them. They're going to punish you now in this life. They're going to punish you in the life they're at. I never thought about it that way. I said, me too. Listen, it takes courage to forgive. But the Bible says we got an example of Christ. That he was a forgiver. And he gives us the courage to forgive. It may even take more courage to forget. To forget. And go ahead. It takes courage. It will take courage for you to claim your promised land. In Joshua chapter 1, we read that passage the other day. Those words of God to Joshua, be courageous, be courageous, be courageous. And then the people come back and told Joshua, said, we want you to be courageous. Listen, it takes courage for you to claim your promised land. That one generation, those 12 spies, those 10, there's only two of the group that acted upon the courage that God had granted. The other one was cowardly.
Amen.
And he said, we can't go into the land. And the people hearkened after those, that majority have said that we can't. But for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness, and God raised up a new generation. And those two men was able to now lead the people into the promised land. To claim the promised land. And again, we say over and over, the promised land, that is not a picture of heaven, but it is a picture of victorious Christian life as they obey God. When Israel, when they went into that promised land, they did not they fight, they had battles, they was dead. Yes, they was. But as they obeyed God, the people was blessed. When they disobey God, things come down upon them to chase the hand of God. It takes courage for you to obey what God says and obey Him and claim what God says to be yours. The blessed, victorious Christian life. God gives and wants us to be courageous. It's a blessed gift. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. We're careful not to be anxious. Don't be fearful, but be courageous. God wants us to be courageous. Would you say, I want to be courageous. I want to be more courageous and love Him and serve Him, forgetting and be able to do what God tells me to do. I want to do that. But I just can't. What did we read in our text? For God not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power.
Yes.
That takes away your can't right there. It's not good to do these people this way sometimes. It's not good sometimes. If you're not careful, you can be facetious. You can be a little mean-spirited. If you're a supervisor, somebody, you're a worker, or you're a coach, put it in the mentality of a coach. You see it maybe a little more plainer. And you see the potential of an individual. You see what they can do. And you've seen what they can do. And they come and they say, Coach, but I can't. And the coach says, yes, you can. You've got the power. You've got the ability. You've got the talent. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and use what God's given you. Go ahead and use what's there within you. You've got it. Believe. Believe in yourself. Believe you've got it. Go ahead. And the coach's not just trying to pump you up. He sees and recognizes. Maybe others see and they recognize. As a pastor, I see and I recognize the power, and I know the power that God instills in each and every one of you. And you can't sometimes, you can't never say, man, I just want to love, and I want to serve, and I want to forgive, and I want to forget. I want to be able to have a victorious Christian life. I want to be a better Christian. And I want to overcome temptation and troubles and trials. But I can't. I'm telling you that you can. And it's not me saying it, it's through the power of Almighty God. God says you can. Resurrection power. That power that brought Jesus out of that grave. That power is available for you. The power of the Holy Spirit that changed and transformed you. Resurrection power. Acts chapter 1:8. You should be witnesses to me. Go and wait, said, until the power comes. And you should be witnesses unto me. We read in 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 1 Peter 1:5. It speaks about the power that God gives. And Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power. That word power comes from the same word that we heard the word dynamite comes from. For it is the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Don't forget the power of God in saving you. Listen. The Bible tells us that God saved us. The power of God, the gospel, the power of God of salvation, everyone that believes, the Jew first and also the Greek. We don't need to forget the power of the gospel. And we need not ever forget that power that converted us. That same power is able to convert other people. That same power that God has given us, that we're able to do when God calls us, He equips us. In Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You've got to understand, as God calls you to be His child, and God wants you to love and serve and forgive and forget, and to claim your promised land, to claim the victories, to claim those promises, those conditional and those unconditional promises, that you can stand and go against temptation and sin. You can stand and persevere in the things of the Lord. God's given you that power already. You can't get back by saying, well, I just can't. Because God's Word says you can't, because I give it to you.
Amen.
We're mindful of that blessed gospel hymn that says, what is it? There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. You see the words? What does the words say? There's power, wonder, work, and power. And that power is not something within thee. It's not something that's pumped up, built up, made up. Any power I have is the power of God. The power of God. It's the power that comes through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and dying for my sins and saving me. As He saves me, He empowers me. Power, gift of God made possible through the gospel, the blessed gospel. And then we see the third thing here in our text. God might give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. When you read John 3:16, how that God loved so much He gave His Son. And when you stop and dwell on God's love, the wonderful gifts His love has provided, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you save through faith, and arm yourselves as a gift of God, not of works of any man supposed. Then as we take time to understand and contemplate upon the fact that this love that was manifested and made real unto us, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, it speaks about this same love that is shed abroad in our hearts for the Holy Ghost. And when I think about that word shed abroad, if you've ever had chickens, and you go out and feed the chickens, You don't just drop, you can drop, as I do sometimes. I drop a little right around my feet, just watch it come up right around my feet. Well, if you've got very many chickens, you drop it, somebody they trust you. You don't drop mean to them. You drop it, you don't sling it and hurt them, but just drop it, they'll come right all around your feet. You know what? No wasps in, no wasps rooster, they're starting to run the littler ones away. So you drop some here, you kind of cast it like that. When you throw it, you won't just throw it, it goes in a pile. You throw it and sling it and kind of let it scatter out. You cast it, you shed it abroad. So all of them can eat that. If you've ever sowed seed with your hand, you sowed seed in the yard, or if you sowed seed with a crank or a grinder, and you shed that, you spread that out. It's not just a little dab here, a little dab there. That's shed it abroad. The Bible says the love in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The same love that manifests us is also has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. It's shed abroad. It's spread throughout us. It's spread throughout us, and we could spread that about as well. I ask you a question. Where would we be without this gift of love? Where would we be? We don't salvation. If we know salvation, wouldn't a gift of love of God? And then as we have this gift of love that's been bestowed upon us, and it's been spread throughout our being. And how glorious it is to know that God loves us. He loves us that much. For you that are blessed enough to be, have a work environment, at least with a Christian influence, that's a blessing to you. To those that have the, at this present time, for whatever reason, and you don't have that Christian influence where you work. I've been there before. You've been there before. Maybe you are today. And how's that atmosphere there where the love of Christ is not there? I'll tell you what it makes you more appreciative of. If you have that kind of an influence, in that kind of place where there's no love, there's no Christian influence where you work, I tell you what, you really start to enjoy more when you come in God's house. You enjoy that more. So you're at a workplace, you can feel the evilness and the wickedness, and everything is not like it is, like it should be as a Christian. And it just constantly irritates and grates your soul. It's like rubbing salt in an open wound. Listen, where would we be? What's the world like? What's life don't have that love? Now, all I can say is, if you're in a place, as I was for a while, there's a person, she was a lady, she's running for public office. One of the few candidates you've ever heard somebody say something about this, about her. But people come out against, people ask this woman, if she lived in Louisville, I think she's running for a state office or maybe a national office. Somebody said, they said this lady, they said, ma'am, the reporter said, you are undoubtedly a person that is known of impeccable character. You have a great character about you. You're not, you don't have a, there's not no corruption, there's no cheating, there's no lying, there's no stealing. You've got a good record behind you. Why would you want to be in such a dirty thing as politics? Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to get involved with those kind of things? And her answer was this. If it's really as bad and as corrupt and as dirty as you say, wouldn't you want somebody with a good character to try to go in and change it? Now listen. God uses us to bring about change. God uses us to bring about a difference. God uses us to either bring, we're either a source of nourishment and spiritual nourishment and health. We're our source of further condemnation that will be brought against them in the great white throne of judgment for disobeying God's word. I don't like to be in a place where there's not love and the Christian love, the Christian influence. I don't like that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, think about our life as God's child and our service to God. No matter what we do, we don't love. Everything else is in vain. Everything. No matter what you do, if you don't have love, everything else is going to be in vain.
Amen.
This love has been granted unto you and to I. Not that we would just soak it in and take it in, that we would share it. Listen, I want to encourage you today to take courage. To take courage. Take advantage of the courage God has blessed you with. God's given you. Use that courage. That power God's infused you with. And as you do that, then you can love people as God would have you love. Say, I can't love. They've done me wrong. They've done this, this, that, and other. Don't love people. Listen, if you'll take courage that God's given you and use the power that God's given you, you'll be able to love people just like God wants to love people. The way that God would have us to love people. And share with them the gift of love. Share with them the ultimate gift of love. That's Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Tonight we'll take time to look at the fourth gift in this verse. That's important. Brother Tree hit upon a little bit there today. We'll come at this a little bit different. You think about that God's given you a gift of a sound mind. Aren't you glad that your children have a sound mind? Your children are saved, they've got a sound mind. And not a mind of a reprobate nature as others that God gives over to. We're going to talk about the gift that God gives. God gives His people a sound mind. And we'll look a little bit about that special gift as well. For the clothes, we understand and know this, and certainly we all should. We have a Heavenly Father who knows the very best gift that we need this time and point in our life. Please don't give it. You ever have somebody that just seems like just knows just the right gift to give you? They just know this seems like just the right thing to give you. Our God knows just exactly what you need this point in your life. He knows what special grace, what special gift, what special grace. God knows just exactly what to give you in a more abundant way, what you stand in need of. All the grace, the gifts of God are there. They're there as God supplies, and they're there. What we got to do is be able to say, hey, God, I receive it. I take it. I claim it. I thank you for it. So then we take that, and God will give us gifts just to lavish for ourselves. Gifts of God are given that we in turn to try to give out to others.
Amen.
Come and God just bless them, attention, bless our people in Jesus' name.